Okay, now I say hello, Internet.
Yes, now we're live.
I'm talking to you, Internet. You know it's you. You can hear this. I am talking to you and you alone.
Nobody
I thought
knows.
It was just us. You mean this goes on the air?
This
for everyone
this
to listen
part,
to?
This part does.
Oh, okay. Hi, Internet. I have a cold.
Yeah. Well,
I have a fever right now.
Oh,
it's exciting.
A fever.
Yes.
Are you having freaky dreams?
I had kind of a freaky dream last night. I don't know. Don't ask. It was not G-rated.
They're really only cool for you because they don't make sense to anybody else.
Yeah.
They don't even make sense to you. If you were to tell us, it would only make it sound dumber.
Yeah, I was kind of like, let me just tell you, I was in this kind of fast food place I went to in Ireland once, which had the worst pizza in the universe, and I was naked. And there was some black guy sitting next to me in the booth, and he kept flirting with me. I'm like, why is this guy flirting with me?
Because you're naked.
I know. It didn't make sense in my dream. I was like, you know.
So wait a second. So Ireland has both black people and pizza?
And naked
yes.
chicks.
Yeah.
Well, I know they have naked chicks because there's a whole lot of Irish people.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that
the Pope condones the naked Irish chicks. As
doesn't either.
You know,
I haven't been to church in a while. I don't know.
I had a question, Brita.
Oh God, is this about Catholicism? Because I don't know.
No,
anymore.
It's not.
Okay.
This is about okay. Because so like the color for Ireland is green, right?
One of them, yes.
So why don't you get naked and paint yourselves green? Why is it blue?
Because the blue stuff's hallucinogenic.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you rub it into your skin and you trip out? No wonder they were so badass.
That's what made them ferocious.
Wow, I had no idea.
Go into battle naked. They would go into battle naked.
Would you like to go
everybody.
With a berserker?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now you know.
You learn something new every day. See, I was right when I tagged this show educational.
Well, it always kind of is.
Yes, it's always an education.
Brita, do you know what like berry or fruit that was made to make the blue stuff?
Well, isn't it like woad? But they don't really have woad anymore. They don't really do that anymore.
I think
that's a shame.
Just made that word up.
Woad. W-O-A-D. Look it up.
That's not a real word.
It is so.
Nope.
Now I have
nope.
to look it up. Damn it.
Yeah.
It is so.
Yeah, I've heard it is a word. I've heard it.
Woad.
It's actually the name of the color, isn't it?
Yes. Ugh. Look it up on Google. I'm not crazy.
A flowering plant in the family of something, something, something. I can't pronounce it. Some
T-Bolt put it in the chat. There it is.
Some unpronounceable Whoa. Latin
yeah.
name.
Whoa, dude.
Isatis tinctoria.
They got the name for the plant because they were all tripping out and going, whoa.
They were not.
So they called it Whoa.
Dude. Don't bogart the blue stuff, man.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Have we got a show tonight? Thursday, November 7th, 2013. This is episode number 80.
I can't believe it.
80.
Crazy. That's over a year.
Oh, yeah. Well over a year.
Well over a year because we skipped some weeks.
Yeah. So. We kind of officially started in March, give or take.
A really big shoe.
Of 2012.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for
yeah.
listening.
Yeah. No kidding.
For episode,
15
for episode
of you
one,
today.
For episode 100, we're gonna code ourselves with woad.
Okay.
It's
no,
a thing.
No, we're not.
I got blue, like, the body paint stuff when I was at Penzic, but it's not made out of woad. It's made out of, I think it was like indigo or something. But it was cool. It was fun.
It's too bad.
If you go to NatalieD.com, Ohio's own Natalie D, she's having clearance for her blue nail polish called Hello, Officer.
I like her nail polish. I haven't bought any yet. It's a damn shame I haven't.
It is.
I haven't. I don't know. I'm surly about Natalie D. She's funny, but then she comes out with her stupid liberal bullshit, and I stop reading her for a while, and then
it's
I go back.
She's
and
an artist, Brita. You would be as liberal and as stupid if you hadn't gotten a real job.
Yeah, I guess you're probably right. But I know a lot of artists who aren't.
If you've just been trying to peddle, like, you know, watercolors to people, come buy my pretty watercolors, and of course people aren't going to buy your pretty watercolors.
I think she lives near Columbus, Ohio, which is like the mecca of liberalism in Ohio because it's just loaded with college campuses and college students and, you know, the college town vibe, you know. So.
We already have a call.
Oh, excellent.
It's MDev.
Oh my gosh. Hi, MDev.
Well, he's not on yet. Now he's on.
Whose fault is that?
Hello.
It's MDev.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, MDev.
Is this the first time?
Oh, hi, Brita, and hi, Alan. Is Weird back there, or is he being sick?
Yep, I'm not here.
All right. Well, you know, now that Jay is no longer a host, I hope La Weirda should be filling in the next year or so.
She's asleep.
Oh,
that's what
it's
I said.
Past her bedtime.
Year. I didn't say today. But I said that, you know, I think she could, you know, age into the position.
If she is old enough to host, she is old enough to not be hearing this language.
That's a good point.
Because I say horrible, horrible, horrible things to her right now.
Oh no,
because she doesn't get it. And as soon as she starts repeating it, I'm gonna stop.
You say the cute little baby voice.
I have to say that I have very much enjoyed your scatological blogging.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a whole lot of fun. And oh, I've got to say, I saved it for the score report. Is our moment of Zen, which is, I believe it was Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And that's exactly what baby shit is, because you feed them the exact same thing and it's a different color every time.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
It's like the TARDIS, bigger on the inside. You know,
it's baby. Just, I mean, it's the same. You know, it's the same stuff in the bottle every single time, and I mean exactly the same stuff, and it's a different color poo every single time.
That's remarkable.
I mean, sometimes there's been a couple of repeat colors, but not in any sort of logical fashion.
Huh.
I sense a scientific study in the making.
I do too. Get on that, Weird.
Yeah. Was there an actual call-in topic, or was it just all the usual stuff of election suck and sort of dead TSA?
Yeah. Well, we have a very special guest today.
A special guest
mm-hmm. who's going to talk about something, and like they do on real shows where they have like. Interview people and shit.
To be fair, this
now, wait
is a podcast.
Minute. We've got guests and topics. I don't know that I can be associated with this.
Yeah,
anymore.
I know.
It's getting a little too formal here.
MDev, this is a podcast. This is a realer show than anything that's on actually television.
Boy, that's for sure.
All right. I'm just saying, the minute I start hearing go to meeting advertisements or something.
There will be no advertisements.
Hey, if somebody wants to pay me a shitload of money to hawk their crappy ass program on here, I'm not too proud.
No.
If your computer needs to be backed up, go to Carbonite. And if you need to learn Mandarin right friggin' now, what? Rosetta Stone.
What about the, who's the one that hawks the gold thing all the time? The gold.
Glenn Beck.
Yeah,
conservative talk show host.
Yeah. Buy gold, buy gold. And, NRA wine. Yeah.
Because oh, no.
It's time. Oh, yeah.
I did one of those shows where we had advertisements.
Yeah, I know.
Once, and it was just awkward.
It didn't. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't the advertisements that were awkward. It was the person you were doing it with. That
well, I know, but no, the whole thing was just awkward.
and the fact that you're on a show doing advertisement, you didn't see one red
sign. That's right.
Well, there's that. You know.
But yeah,
stupid me.
But remember, if you sign up now for Spit and Kitten, you can get 2 free DVDs.
Ooh, there you go.
So before you guys get to important things that kick me off, I came to a realization today, and I want to know if you guys all think I'm nuts.
Yes.
And don't worry, it ties into your topic. So we've got this idiot from Guns and Ammo that basically, you know, gumboed himself with the same old thing of, you know, oh my gosh, yes, you don't need real rifles, you know. There's a real parallel because we all have to acknowledge that mindset exists within gun owners in general, right? Whether it be the Zumbo mindset of, you know, keep your plastic toys out of the field or whatever. It reminds me a lot of the Tea Party movement inside the larger, you know, big tent GOP in the fact of you've got one, like, much more open and accepting and motivated group and then a bunch of old white guys saying, well, screw that shit. That's not how we did it in my day. I don't know. It just seems like the parallels are getting stronger and stronger.
I think we need music.
I mean, because
we have the music already.
Yeah. I would never let me in before the music. I knew there was music.
You think him dead needs his own theme song?
No, I don't need my own intro.
He does. I think so. I think he needs some sort of, like...
Well, no, because, you know, the bad news is my school report calling time is going to be coming to an end because I'm going to be changing work shifts. And
oh, no.
I don't think I should be doing this on the clock.
Oh, no. Hell yeah, you should be.
You need to discuss this with your supervisors. Yeah. And
schedule.
Say that you're a necessary component of a very important podcast that's very popular in China.
Yeah, it needs to go on your rider.
Just schedule your break for sometime between 8 and 9. You'll be fine.
Well, I start work at 5:30, so I don't know that a 6 o'clock break really works well.
Sure it does.
Sure, yes.
Although, on the other hand,
call from the restroom.
I'm going to have my own company vehicle, so what happens in the vehicle stays in the vehicle.
All right, that's getting a little too twisted. All right, we need to get our special guest on. So thanks for calling,
Dave. Get your guest in. I'm checking out. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Dave.
Now let's see if Amanda's still there.
She's in the chat.
Yeah. I'll try to add her to the call if she'll answer.
Uh-oh.
Today's score report brought to you by Woad.
Woad.
Skype.
Hey.
Yay. Hi, Amanda.
Okay. So our guest tonight is Amanda.
No last name.
Yeah. The reason we have Amanda on is because she recently... And I don't really know how to. It took part in, joined, was granted. I don't know where. There's an outfit called the Armed Citizen Project, and the idea being that, you know, an armed citizen is a good citizen. So they're basically giving shotguns to people, and Amanda recently received one.
That is correct.
And.
Awesome.
And
no, it really is.
Was also, I don't think it has aired yet, the 2020 thing.
No, it will air in December.
Okay, and she was interviewed for a 2020 segment. So we thought it'd be neat to have her on to talk about the Armed Citizen Project and to her take on, you know, kind of being in the belly of the beast. You know, I'm sure 2020 was not a gun-friendly interview.
Oh, no, no. He definitely has an agenda.
So, anyway, welcome to the Squirrel Report, Amanda.
I'm glad to be here. Now I don't feel like I'm just eavesdropping.
No. In fact, you're actually here in Texas. I won't say where in Texas, but you're in Texas. So.
Yes, sir.
By way of somewhere else.
Yes.
To be fair, by way of Alabama. Otter Neck, Texas.
What weird?
It's Otter Neck, Texas.
Texas. So what's the deal with the Armed Citizen Project? I know you're not a spokesman for them or affiliated with them in any way, except they gave you a shotgun, right?
Right. How'd you get a shotgun? How did that happen?
They started their program this year here in Houston, and they originally started out by arming citizens in complete neighborhoods that had a high incidence of kick-ins and home invasions. And then in August, they put out a call to single moms to put in their, you know, requests to be a part of another program they were doing to arm single moms and women that live alone or with, you know, without a man in the house to also get a shotgun. And I got picked to participate in that with about 12 other women. We went out to.
How did they pick you? Did they just pull your name out of the hat, or do you have to?
I met their criteria: age of my child, where I lived. I live in the city, so that probably helped.
Right, and what people are asking in the chat: what kind of shotgun did you get?
I got a Stevens 320. It's 12 gauge pistol grip. It's a security gun.
Nice. Excellent. Okay, so you joined you joined the group and you got your shotgun, and then what happened after that?
They asked if all us single moms would participate in an interview with 2020 because they are doing a piece on guns in America, which is kind of David Muir, the host. It's his thing to report on how terrible they are. So. they put all of us women with our shotguns on a panel and sat and interviewed, and he did ask the hard questions. And
you gave him hard answers?
We did. I gave him very hard answers, enough to where he cut me off a couple of times and moved on.
Now, had you ever shot a shotgun before?
I had not.
Okay.
I had shot a rifle once, and I have a 38 special, and that's it. And it was awesome. If someone had told me that it was basically like dynamite you got to aim, I'd have bought 1 year ago.
I love it. Dynamite you get to aim.
I know. It really was awesome. My target is hanging on my bedroom door. It'll be the last thing an intruder sees.
Man, that's a big hole. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
So, and then the Armed Citizens Project is going to also do a thing where once every month or so, all of us women that participated will get to go out to the range with free ammo and practice, and then go out and do some tactical shooting outdoors and make sure that we're well trained and very comfortable with our firearms.
Nice. Wow.
Now they also, before they gave you, did they do the training before they gave you the shotgun as well, or?
Oh, yes. You did the training first, and then you you learned a lot about the gun laws here in Texas, and then you had your range time, and then you had to come back and, of course, do your background check, and then they armed you, and you were sent on your way.
Well, everybody's so excited about the free ammo.
Yeah.
Free ammo.
Well, I don't get to take it with me, but I get to fire it up there whenever I need to. They've got a stock for us. And they always need donations because Kyle Copeland, who y'all really need to get on the show, he is a child. I mean, he's not a child. He's very young, and he was in working on his master's, and I don't know if y'all remember the Marine here in Houston, Elwood, who's in his 80s or 90s and had his home ransacked by a bunch of thugs. Yep. That happened in January of this year, and that is what made him start this. So for his senior, for his master's thesis, he wrote a business proposal for a not-for-profit organization to arm citizens. And then he decided he was going to go ahead and enact it, and he did. And they started out by giving women guns that had been donated, and now they trade them in, and everyone gets the same kind of 12-gauge pump-action shotgun. And they're going into Indiana. They're working on doing it in Chicago. They've been to Florida, actually in Zimmerman's neighborhood. They've armed everybody there, so...
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So it's not just a Texas thing.
No. He's Kyle Copeland is originally from Indiana, so he's trying to do it, you know, everywhere, because he says the reason it's better than a handgun, which was one of the things that I was arguing with the host on 2020, is that, you know, the skill level isn't as necessary as it is. Your accuracy is still reasonable under pressure. You just aim, set fast, and shoot. There's less likelihood for a bullet to, you know, the shot to travel through drywall and kill your neighbor. It's comforting. He's like, and you can always, you know, beat the hell out of somebody with it if you have to.
This is true.
And also another thing to add is that if you happen to not qualify for this, but you get inspired by it, these 12-gauge shotguns, even, you know, there's a lot of really, really good options that are very, very, very affordable.
Yep.
And ammo's not scary expensive either.
No. Well, it's not like you're going to go to the range and shoot 200 or 300 rounds.
No.
You know, it's, yeah.
I love it. I can't wait to go back out there and shoot it. And I'm really looking forward to doing the tactical outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Shoot pumpkins or whatever, watermelons.
You know, shooting paper targets is all well and good, but when you get outside and you start shooting things, changes the whole thing. Like, even with pistols. When I first shot, like, you know, something besides paper, it was like, you know, a light bulb went off in my head. It was great. It was a great moment. It's so much fun. It's because you get like feedback, you know, a hole in paper is like, okay, I hit the paper. Yay. But like exploding a pumpkin. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Terracotta pots, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Somebody give me something to shoot at.
Now, how did the Armed Citizen Project, hook up with 2020? Do you know that? Or was it just like kind of a behind the scenes thing?
It was a behind the scenes thing. They've been interviewed quite a bit about their organization because, you know, the gun control people hate this organization. They just think that, you know, you're putting more guns out there and it's dangerous and the world is going to be a worse place for it. So, like Kyle had been on with Olbermann a couple of times on the web channel he was on before it went defunct, and he's been on CNN. And so when 2020 reached out to him and he advised them that he was getting ready to train another group. Did they want to be a part of that? So they're actually going all around the country picking up stories about both good and bad, but so far I've seen mostly negative guns in the homes in homes that have children in them, which is really what they were pushing with us.
Right. And, when you were being interviewed, did you kind of feel like it was a setup? Like they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was ready for it. As soon as I found out who David Muir was, I did some research, and he's got a very well-defined agenda, and there's a history online. So I was ready.
Good. What about the other women in your group? Do you think they were all kind of as prepared as you were for the interview, or?
I don't think they were quite as prepared, in that I don't think it's something that research was done on, but they all pretty much had the same stance. You know, the word you kept hearing over and over was, I feel more empowered. I feel more empowered. And,
right.
And he kept asking people, well, you know, what if your child gets hold of it? And he just would not take, that's not going to happen, as an answer.
Right.
And that's when I explained to him, I said, well, you know, some people don't want a gun in their home. I don't want a swimming pool because that kills more people than guns.
And, I bet you that gets cut out of the interview.
I'm fairly certain at that point they'll make me look batshit crazy.
That was the first thing I did when I bought my house, was I tore out the swimming pool in the backyard because I was moving my guns in, but swimming pools are downright dangerous.
That's right.
And not good for your homeowner's insurance.
No, no.
An attractive nuisance is what they call them. So, yeah, now... It's interesting because, you know, there was a group of women who had already decided to acquire a gun and had one. So arguing with them about whether it was a good idea to have one in the house was probably doomed to failure. I can't imagine anybody going, you know, at that point, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I don't really need this shotgun. Y'all take it back.
Yeah, and all 10 of us were holding shotguns at the time, so that probably... It was funny, though, because before they were allowed anyone to bring a gun in the house where the interview took place, the producer had to walk out to everyone's car, and the officer that was there had to check and make sure every firearm was not loaded. And then they put a zip tie on them and tied them with the pump open so that you could see they were not loaded. And it was, so you'll see these hot pink zip ties on the guns. No, I'm serious.
What if you had a CHL?
It doesn't matter. You were not allowed to bring a loaded gun in for their interview.
Says who? I mean, who's? Wow.
Yeah, that was their request. Now, one of the women there who volunteers for the project, she didn't have a shotgun, and she told him that she carries a Glock 19, and he said, do you have it with you? And she said, I don't have to answer that.
Good for her. Good.
Yeah. She's awesome. She's wow, awesome. Like in her late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, marvelous.
I'm flabbergasted that they went to that length. This was at somebody's house?
Yes, it was hosted at somebody's house in the neighborhood that they had initially done the arming the neighborhood project at.
And this was the request of the 2020 crew that there not be any loaded guns, or?
Yes, and they came and their camera crew, they filmed them double checking all the guns and zip tying them before they brought us all together.
Wow.
It was an officer who did all the checking? God.
He was off duty. He's part of the Armed Citizens Project, but that's who they had do it.
Oh. I gotcha. Because, of course, the 2020 people and all their infinite expertise in guns, they have no idea how to clear a shotgun.
Exactly. Somebody would have gotten shot.
Yeah,
they probably would. If we'd let any of them handle one with the shell in it.
Amazing.
But we're the ones who are paranoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people, you know, obviously these armed citizen shotgun receivers are shooting each other left and right, and CHL holders are just, you know, plowing, you know, people down all over the place. I mean, it's stunning to me that they actually went through all that. I don't know.
I really think that they were trying to pull this. You've never even planned on having a gun, and now you have this gun. But did you think about point A, B, or C? But the problem was, this is not the safest city in America. Granted, it's not Chicago, but, you know, we all know what element is out there. And each of these women had thought about points A, B, and C, and D, E, and F. Yeah. Which they weren't really expecting.
Well, good.
And there were several women that were like, when he asked, would you shoot someone if you had to? And they were all just, absolutely. I will unload it. So and, there are 10 armed women that are empowered and ready.
Do you feel empowered? You're pretty empowered already, Amanda. So, you with a shotgun.
Compared to the 38, I was just like, this is a freaking cakewalk. This rocks. And I don't have to have a permit to walk down the street with a shotgun.
So you already have a pistol, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a 38?
It's a 38 special. It's a little...
She basically has the gun that I learned on, the air weight hammer.
Yes, I have an air weight.
Yeah, when you said the shotgun was a cakewalk compared to the 38, I'm like, oh, it's an air weight.
Yeah.
That thing is a mule. The shotgun was badass.
The 38, the air weight, the pistol voted most likely to make people never want to shoot again.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I could totally see that. I really could. Because I hate it. I've been trying to unload it for 2 years. It's only had less than 100 rounds shot out of it. You know, any takers?
Wow.
I still have the case and the original test fire shell even.
Did they?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, I would definitely say that. Well, yeah, Amanda, you might want to hold on to that. Because do you have your Texas concealed weapon permit?
Not yet. I'm getting ready to do that next because I get a discount.
If you get it, well, again, I will agree that the Airweight 38 specials are definitely not a beginner gun. They are hands down the best gun for, even if you have something that, you know, like a Glock or something that's a little bit more easy to shoot and a little bit of a better carry choice. Still, being able to just drop 5 shells into a $10 pocket holster and be able to go down to the store not unarmed, nothing beats a little tiny revolver.
And that's pretty much what sold my ex-husband on it. But I have little hands and my pinky still hangs and it bruises my hands up and turns them black after a day at the range. Yeah. And after that, I was just like, no, this is too abusive.
Well, they're very abusive. I can't remember the last time I've shot mine.
Yeah, I know. I have an air weight, and one of the things that I recommend with an air weight is, and it helped me a lot learning how to shoot it, is a laser grip. That thing helped a lot because you can see, you know, how badly you flinch and how your trigger control is and all sorts of things. But still, that recoil it hurts. After a while, I took my concealed carry class test with that gun, and I think we had to do like 100 rounds or something. And my hand was numb at the end of it. I was like, this is ridiculous. At that point, I was like, I need something else. And I went out and I got a different gun. So, yeah. It is a good gun. It's a good self-defense gun, like last ditch gun, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not like I would go to the range and shoot it for fun.
No, it's not a beginner gun. I can see where that would turn a lot of women off.
Heck, it turns a lot of men off, too. I don't like them either.
And you could club someone with it, but that's pretty much it after 5 shots.
Oh, yeah. And when you get up to the air weights that are in 357 Magnum, there are very few guns that are more nasty to shoot. I'll definitely shoot far more rounds out of a Smith & Wesson 500 Magnum over Jay's little air weight 357, because that thing will definitely knock you around.
So just a little bit more about the 2020 thing, because I think it's fascinating how these, like, these news magazine crews come in and do these interviews and then editing that goes on and the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Like, I didn't know that they checked all your guns and then zip tied them. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now you told, I have kind of like, you know, inside information since you and I are friends, but, you said earlier that they wanted to interview the kids. you know, yes, the single moms. And I know that you didn't want your son to be interviewed, and that is completely your right. But do you know if any of the other women allowed it?
Only one allowed them to come into her home, and her child is two. So I don't think he was probably the ideal interviewee.
Oh, okay. Good.
He might have been right up to speed. Who knows? But, yeah, that's the only person that allowed them into her home.
Well, that's very wise.
Especially, they told us that they did this incident because we talked about, you know, gun safety and not just teaching your child don't touch it, but that there has to be a respect level. And he said, well, we talked to a bunch of parents and they all told us the same thing. And then we put all their children in a classroom and hid a gun and told them to just go and look for everything. And every single one of them looked down the barrel and pointed it at each other. And so these kids were all trained too. What do you have to say about that? And I said, well, that sounds like a setup.
Well, they put the damn guns in a toy box. What's to be expected? Right. They put it in with a bunch of other toys and said, go play with these toys.
Exactly.
You tell a kid, go play with the toys, and there's a real gun in there, they're going to assume it's a toy.
That was in January or February. It was part of their Guns in America, and this is part two of it that they're filming.
I mean, that was, growing up as a little boy, I actually went out for a woods walk with my great grandfather, and he gave me a 22 rifle that, you know, he had unloaded, and there was no ammo around, so that, you know, it was perfectly safe. And it was years later that I realized, oh, that toy gun sucked, because it would be one of those, I'd pull the trigger and it wouldn't do anything. I'm like, okay, this is kind of a dumb toy, until I realized, oh no, that was a real gun. You hand a kid something, they're just going to assume that it's a toy.
Oh, yeah. You know, because why would it be in a toy box? It's not that they're snooping in the closet. And that was one of the things that he inquired about me. He said, well, your son is 10. Do you worry about him and his friends coming over and going through your room and finding it? I said, no, because my son respects the fact that that is my room and he is not allowed in there without my permission, whether I'm home or not.
Oh, they'll really alienate themselves if they air that, because, in America, especially any place that's gun-friendly, 10's like the magical age where it's one of those, okay, it's time for you to own your first real gun.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. Oh, my God, all the horrors and the death and destruction that's caused by that. Nope.
Yeah, I got my first .22 when I was about 10.
Yeah, that was when my father got his first. And then he did not extend the same privilege to me.
No, I gave my, I think what my daughter was 9.
Yeah, I think she was 9.
She was 9. You butter when the I cricket. Gave her the 22, her first rifle. Yeah. Well,
it was fun. Yeah,
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, good.
A
first question
time,
for Amanda?
I think it's a first time caller.
Excellent.
It's, I missed the care. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Alan?
Yep.
This is Borpatch.
Hey, Borpatch.
Hey, I have a question and a comment for your guest.
Okay.
The question, and both of these are about the blatant media bias. And quite frankly, the ignorance. These people are running shows. My question is, has anybody asked, when was the last time you went shooting? And or how many times have you been shooting? To establish just how much the interviewer actually understands about guns.
It's funny that you would say that, because the point in the interview panel when he moved on from me, he said, you know, there's still people out there that no matter what you say are going to say, you know, more guns out in society is bad. What do you have to say to those people? And my response was, people fear things they don't understand. And most people that are on that side of gun control have little to no actual physical contact with a gun. And it is very scary to fire a gun the first time. Hello?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I thought I lost y'all. I got quiet. Yep.
No.
And,
no, but, we're listening. You know,
there's a confidence level that comes with that, and then it's no longer scary, just like driving a car is scary the first time. And I really believe that those people that say it's bad just fear it because they don't understand it. And I hope to God that makes it interview, but I'm fairly certain it probably won't.
Well, and my comment was kind of related to this, which is, it seems like it would be useful to have a friend videotape them videotaping all of your interactions with them.
Oh, I bet they never let that happen.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't allow that.
And post it up on YouTube. If they cut your stuff to heck and try to make you take you out of context and make you look like a nut, if you've got the raw footage. Now, my guess is that's the express lane to, no, we're not going to have you on the show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you don't tell them beforehand, you just have somebody show up and start doing it and filming it. And then make them say, no, you can't appear on the show, and film that and post that up to YouTube, that might almost be effective as well. I'm just thinking they use the power of the editor to make us look like idiots. And it seems like the turning that around to show the sausage being made might be pretty powerful for our side. I'll drop off now. I'll let you reply to this and let somebody else call in.
That's kind of why I wanted to have Amanda on.
Yep.
Four Patch is kind of why I wanted to have Amanda on tonight, was because I thought it's very interesting that she got a free shotgun and training and all sorts of stuff. But I thought the most interesting story was her actually dealing with the anti-gun media. And seeing, because now that she's been on the show and told her side of the story, it'll be interesting to see what they actually broadcast on the show. And Amanda, you said it airs.
It'll
when?
Air
early December.
Early December.
Okay.
I thought about that. I thought about how are they going to edit this down?
Right.
I don't know if there were a couple of people standing around, spouses and guests and what have you. And I'm hoping that, you know, someone that has a cell phone with video was conscious enough to do that. The only one that I think might have been would have been Dan, and he's part of the Armed Citizen Project. Because every time he was off camera, but every time they would ask a leading question, he would be shaking his head and throwing fists in the air. It was kind of funny. And so I think that he would have at least recorded the sound, if nothing else. I hope.
Right.
Huh.
It's just, I don't know. It just seems like they're trying so hard. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know, that's a hard sell for them, 2020. Get a bunch of single moms who want to protect their families and want to protect themselves and their children and their homes and try to spin it like in an anti-gun kind of way. I was like, that's kind of a hard sell for the American public.
Yeah.
He kept trying to push statistics saying, but did you know that 1/3 of all accidental shootings involved a child? Did you know? And I said, well, how many is that? Is it 3? Because then that's only one. What's the percentage compared to gun owners that have children in the home? And they didn't have those answers. You know, I've read How to Lie with Statistics. I know exactly what they're doing.
Right. I mean, a lot of their gun statistics concerning children are based on underage gangbangers who are shooting each other.
not even underage.
You know. Yeah,
some of these children are 26-year-old drug dealers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you know you can't listen to those statistics really necessarily. But I was just thinking, you know, the whole chicks and guns and women with guns is kind of like this big thing. It's been in the news so often recently, like. You know, like, it's the first time ever in history women ever touch guns. You know, oh, my God, you know. Annie Oakley.
Who? Exactly.
Annie who? Right, I know. But, you know, it's been in the news a lot. And I was thinking, man, that's going to be a hard sell for them to try to get, you know, like, an anti-gun story out of single women who want to protect their families. And good luck to them. I don't think it's going to play well. They're going to have to do some, not in Texas, definitely not, but probably not even in the entire country, you know.
And the demographic, I mean, it was two widowed older women, three white women, four or five Hispanics, I think two lesbians and two black chicks. I mean, it was all over the board.
Wow. Yeah, that is all over the board. Cool.
They were probably confused because that's your normal liberal, you know, democratic demographic.
And then single moms are supposed to be, you know, clearly they didn't check voting records.
Well, you know, here's the thing, especially in Texas, that voting record doesn't mean shit when it comes to gun ownership because, you know, there's, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever. I mean, everybody owns guns here. So it's not really a, you know, it's not really a thing.
That was actually a really surprising thing when I took a cruise out of Galveston, and so most of the people on the boat were from Texas, and I was sitting in a cigar bar enjoying a beverage and all that, and they found out I was from Massachusetts, and they wanted to know about what was the story with Tent Kennedy. I happened to have a glass of Chivas Regal in my hand and mentioned that was the drink that kept him from being president, and.
Was it the water in the river?
Well, I mean, he was allegedly drunk on ship when he drowned Mary Jo Kopechne. But we got talking about guns not too long after that, and there was a couple of people there that were a little bit wishy washy on guns and not the most comfortable with, you know, it being wide open, but they were from Texas, so yeah. I mean, the guy that was like, "Oh yeah, no, I don't know about guns," but yeah, but he had a Beretta 92 in his nightstand,
right? And that's Texas.
That's Texas. Pretty
much. Even the anti-gun people in Texas have guns.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is in America, you know, I mean, here in Massachusetts, you can't own a gun without having a gun permit. So therefore, everybody that owns a gun in Massachusetts owns like dozens of guns because. I've got to pay, you know, $100 every 5 years just to own a gun. So I might as well own a bunch because it's not worth it. If I'm just going to have one Steven shotgun, I'll have bought five or six Steven shotguns with permit fees alone. You know, after I've renewed a couple of times.
Yep.
But you know, the rest of America, how many people who don't own any guns own a gun?
Yeah.
You know, how many people are like, "Oh no, I don't own any guns." "Oh yeah, no, I've got my grandfather's shotgun in the closet," or "Yeah, no, I got a little .22 pistol here," or you know, "I got a .38 special revolver." You know, it's just so many people who quote unquote don't own guns or aren't gun people have guns in America.
It's funny that you say that because the older lady that owned the Glock 19, he asked her, you know, "Did you ever think you would own a gun?" She was like, "Oh no, I never thought I'd own a gun." And then she proceeds to say, my deceased husband, he was a marksman for the Army and he actually shot competitively. And so he had all these guns." And I'm like, "But then you had guns in the house. So how did you never think you'd have a gun?" But
exactly.
But now she has her own, and she shoots at least twice a week.
Wow.
Cool.
Nice. I wish I could afford the ammo for that.
Yeah. Well,
if anybody else has a question or a comment for Amanda, feel free to call in. We have a call-in number.
214-530-0036. Again, that's 214-530-0036. Operators
and
are
yes,
standing
this is,
by.
This is totally a setup.
And I ordered that case, that sheath, Brita, that I showed you the picture of, and it came in, and I love it. The range bag for the shotgun.
Oh. See, you're already accessorizing.
Well, they have that sign right there in the range that said, don't ever come in here with a gun, out. We don't care if you wrap it in a shirt. And it was basically, you will either be shot or ejected or thanked for wow. killing someone, because that's the only time you should ever have a gun out in the range, but not on the range floor.
Interesting.
So I'm all excited. My boss already told me that he was going to buy me a bunch of shells for Christmas.
Nice. Yeah, that's the thing. Once you find out somebody's a gun owner, you automatically have their birthday and Christmas presents set, because it's like ammo is always the perfect gift.
Yeah, you never have too much of it.
That's right.
I'm very fortunate. I think everybody at my job, and there's only 10 of us or 11, we're all gun owners. Most of the employees all have their concealed handgun license, and I think there's a couple in the office, a couple of firearms in the building even.
Nice.
We're prepared.
Well, great. If we don't do it before, we want to have you back on after the 2020 thing airs, so we can talk about how bad they screwed it up, or heck, who knows? Maybe they do a good job of it. Who knows?
We'll see.
I suppose it's possible.
These days, it would behoove them not to do too much of a hatchet job.
I'm curious to see how they're going to spin it with all of us saying the same thing, and only three of us knew each other prior to that day, and that was because we met in class. So, they'll manage somehow, but they were quite shocked that one of the women was a kindergarten teacher. And he said, but how does it feel knowing that you feel like you have to have a shotgun to protect your home, and then you go home or go to work and you teach all these innocent children? And she said, well, these innocent children aren't taught anything at home, and that's why I have to have a shotgun now.
Innocent children. He's obviously never spent time around kindergartners.
No.
Those things are evil.
Yeah, or middle schoolers are the worst.
Yeah. What was it? Middle tween girls, the most evil things on the planet.
Oh, God, I'm going to have one of those.
My daughter just turned 13, so let me tell you.
Is she evil?
Yes, she's evil now. Completely evil. No, not really.
Tell her to use her powers for awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight, Amanda.
And thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll finish some more things. And like I said, we'll get back sometime around December after they air it, and see what happens.
And y'all remember, the camera adds 30 pounds.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
And that was Amanda. Yay.
That was an excellent, excellent interview.
That was good. Impressive. I never heard her voice before.
I know. Me neither. I've been friends with her for a long time now and never heard her voice.
The internet's weird that way.
I know.
So we've got a few minutes left, and I kind of wanted to talk about this Metcalf thing.
We already kind of talked about
it a little bit. For being stupid.
Well, because, first off, it's weird. It's like, I first saw this whenever it first happened. I mean, oh gosh, I don't even know when it first happened. Last week, was it?
Yes, thereabouts. It was before. I think it was longer than that. But.
Well, anyway. So Metcalf, who's been a writer for Guns and Ammo for like forever, writes this article or this editorial talking about, how, a little regulation is a good thing. In fact, he totally screws up the definition of regulation used in the Second Amendment. I mean, here's a guy who is a gun writer who at least theoretically is a, you know, a Second Amendment guy and completely misunderstands the use of the word regulated in the Second Amendment. He says he justifies his call for laws regulating firearms by saying, hey, the Second Amendment says regulated. Which, you know, anybody that knows anything about the Second Amendment understands that regulated in that content means, you know, properly working and, you know, operating correctly, not government regulation.
Oddly enough, as a scuba diver, I own several regulators.
Yeah, imagine that.
It has nothing to do with laws.
Well, at the time, there were several. There was a very popular line of chronometers that were, you know, regulated. As you know, then the word was in. Actually, the word "regulate" was more in common use at that time to mean that meaning than, you know, the modern government regulation.
Actually, also, to be fair, I did speak. The physics geeks out there that are listening are yelling at their computer or their podcasting device. Is yes, it has to do with laws. It has to do with Boyle's Law.
Good one. Different kind
physics
of
jokes.
Yeah, I get it. So anyway, this Metcalf writes this letter, and of course the internet explodes, right? And a few days later, the publisher of Guns and Ammo releases this, the former editor of Guns and Ammo, who is no longer here, you know, that kind of thing. It's a little weaselly worded, but I don't know. I just think it's odd that somebody in the gun publishing business can in this day and age be so clueless as to, you know, write something like that and the editor okay it and the publisher publish it and think that nothing was going to happen. I mean, it's almost, you know, I almost put my tinfoil hat on and say, you know what? It's almost like they did it on purpose. I don't know.
Oh, you mean to like get him fired?
I don't know. He was leaving anyway. According to the story, he was going to be leaving in January anyway. So maybe they were like, hey, let's have a little controversy, you know?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't see how that could, you know, I don't know.
I don't think that sort of controversy for a gun magazine is good controversy. You know how they say, you know, any publicity is good publicity. I don't think.
Yeah, but this is the kind of publicity that makes people cancel their subscriptions.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out for them.
This ain't the Rifleman where people get it for free for being an NRA member. This is a magazine where people actually people actually have to pay money for it.
Yeah. Also, this is coming out in the chat is that as Metcalf is, you know, as an older gun writer, this is definitely from the thing where we still have, like, you know, politicians saying, oh no, I support the Second Amendment. I love hunting. Or,
yes, you know, exactly.
When various anti-gun politicians, you know, put on Hunter Orange and go, you know, tramping around in the woods to try to show what a Second Amendment person they are.
Right.
And it's just one of those, especially these days. I mean, what was it? Wasn't Pew, but there was one of the big poll sites did a poll on why do you own firearms, and the number one by like a good heavy amount was personal protection.
Yes,
yeah, no, it's not about
hunting. It never has been.
No,
George Washington did not cross the Delaware to get to his duck blind.
But you know, MDev kind of had a point because it's the same, and a lot of times it's the same kind of effect going on. You know, you got these old school gun guys, you know, the Zumbo and Metcalf guys that are, you know, they think all these plastic rifles are horrible, and, you know, if a shotgun doesn't cost $10,000 at least, it's a piece of crap. And, you know, if you're not talking about your safari to Africa, then, you know, why bother to say anything at all? You know, that kind of attitude, you know, and it's the same right. as the, you know, it's the same as the, what they used to call the Rockefeller Republicans, which is now, I guess, mm-hmm. the establishment Republicans, which is the, you know, they'd rather lose and be in charge than, you know, not be in charge. So,
yeah, it's seriously right now, the government is kind of like Democrats and Republicans versus Ted Cruz.
Yeah, it really is.
You know.
Well, and I'll go back to the whole, you know, the same thing happened with Reagan. I mean, the establishment Republican Party hated Reagan. They hated him with a passion. Their pick for the 1980 election was George Bush Sr. And Reagan kind of came out of left field for them, and they were completely unprepared for it, and they went out of their way to sabotage him at every step. And you saw what happened when George Bush Sr. got back. You know, no, read my lips, no new taxes. And the first thing they did was raise taxes. So,
yeah.
and he did sign some gun bans.
Yep. Yep. So, anyway.
That's the reason why you're counting all the parts when you're building an AK.
Yep.
That's why TAPCO's in business.
Oh, the other thing I want, you know, that whole Obama thinks he's really good at killing people.
Yeah. Well, he is really good at it. You know, he's got the drones and Obamacare now. And well, gosh, you know, Benghazi, he lets those guys die. And
his enemies list?
Fast and Furious.
Yep.
Right? He sent guns into Mexico. Really good at killing people with that.
And grenades, too.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Oh, and grenades now. That's right.
He's a Marxist. I think it's obvious. Anybody that wants to argue that he's not is wasting our time.
He needs to look up the definition of a Marxist.
Right. And as far as Marxist goes, he's really not that good at killing people.
Well, give him time.
Like, that is true. Also, that's one thing that bugs me is, you know, all these progressives talking about, like, oh, nothing's killed more people on Earth than religion.
Oh, please.
Oh, please.
And it's one of those, yeah, but you got to look at the Marxists. I mean, they even with 2,000-year lead time, the Marxists have piled it on way better when it comes to sheer body count.
They kill more people in the 20th century than basically all religions combined throughout the history of the world.
Well, I mean, this is kind of the situation that, God, every time I talk about. And I've been saying this since, Jesus Christ, since I started doing podcasts, is that I sound like a conspiracy theorist. But really, I don't feel like I need to apologize for it now.
No.
It's like, you know, you look at history and you look at the way governments have manipulated people into, you know, governments love crises, right? Because the people turn to the government for help. And here we are, you know, we had the government shutdown, which was kind of, it seemed to me like a, you know, kind of test balloon. Hey, what are people going to start to do if, you know, and then now we have this, I don't know. I mean, God, the clusterfuck of Obamacare is just astounding.
Yeah.
Now. And it's like, really, people are like, oh, well, they just fucked up. They're all incompetent. And I'm like, and that level, that much incompetence, it's just astounding.
Yes, they are that.
But I think they will not let this crisis go to waste because, you know, Obamacare is just a way to transfer wealth and create more Democratic voters.
Yep.
That are relying on the government. So, voila. Congratulations. Anyway, rant over.
Yeah, we're about out of time anyway.
Okay, good.
Hey, that was a good show.
It really was. Thank you, Amanda, so much for joining us tonight.
She did great.
Yeah, she did wonderful.
And we'll be back next week with episode 81. It's the countdown to 100.
No, it's too soon.
Hey, it's 20 shows.
Yeah. And remember, on 100, we will all be painted in woad.
No, we won't.
Okay. Yes.
No.
I will stick my hair up in spikes and do the show naked, painted in woad.
Really?
Really?
Whoa.
But no one will ever know because it's not a webcam show.
Speaking of fever dreams, I'm about to have one.
We might do a special video episode for that one.
I'm putting a Band-Aid over my webcam. Per Boar Patch's suggestion.
All right. Well, that's a show. See y'all next week, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.